Okay. County police? Okay. It's all go and recording. Stormy, it's yours.
Officially calling the ANC of 1D to order at, I can't see the time over there. I have 7:15 p.m. on September 5th, 2008. Oh, I'm sorry. I went all the way to the weekend, didn't I? Thank you. It's September 2nd. Oh, excuse me. Commissioners present, McKay, Bosserman, Scott, Edwards, and Tunda. We're going to start, as we always do, with the open discussion. Do we have a mic out in the audience already? If not, you can take this. Oh, the wireless is over there.
So if anybody wants to, this is your chance to speak up and be heard.
We're on. Okay, I'm Ed Schneider. I live at 1701 Harvard. You're looking at a survey of our property up on the screen. We have lived in the house on that property since 1978. As you can see, it's an unusual piece of land. It's a wedge-shaped property. It's the end unit of the 1700 row of Harvard. And where you see 827, along the public alley out back, for some reason, some previous owner of our property in 1967 had subdivided and sold off that corner of the property to the neighbor who lives across the narrow pedestrian alley that goes from the public alley to Harvard Street at 1665 Harvard, which is just to the right of that. So that owner owns the house to the right and that chunk of land right behind our house. When that sold off in 1967, it was given its own lot number, 827. It's the square is 2855, which is entirely different from the house on the other side of the alley that owns it.
Just for clarification, you live here.
Yeah.
And the person who was applying for the variance, the garage, was there.
Right.
So his lot is actually behind your lot.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where he wants to build a garage. He's applied for a zoning permit, for a zoning variance, a couple of variances, so he could build a garage on that lot, which borders two alleys, which is approximately 19 feet wide as it touches our property, and 24 feet deep. And his application to BZA indicates that he plans to build it on the premises of 1665 Harvard, which it's not, 1665 being the other side of that alley. Okay, getting it better now? So essentially what will happen is he's supposed to have approached us with talking to us and showing us plans. The letter we got from BZA was dated July 22nd. We've not heard from him. We've not seen plans. You folks have not seen plans. And he's made no attempt to contact us whatsoever, which is certainly not very neighborly. The garage he intends to build will be only 18 feet from our rear windows. And because of the topography of the land, as you probably know, Harvard Street is probably about 45 or 50 feet below where the alley is, and the houses are built into the hillside. In fact, the front of our house is three stories high. The rear of our house is only two stories high. So the flooring of their proposed garage is 3 to 4 feet above the flooring of our patio. And if you build a 12 to 15 foot high garage, you've got a garage that's virtually as tall as the back of our house, 18 feet from our rear windows. Up obstructing our view, our light, our privacy, and the air we've enjoyed for 30 years. Also, if he were to build... Oh, Jack, you getting up a photograph of that? Thank you. That's the lot, 827.
That's part of your house.
That's part of my house. It's hard to see, but it's a pale gray green. Exactly. That goes down. That is 1665 that you're pointing to.
And everything on this side is you.
Yeah, on the other side of the fence at the far end of that car. So that would be a 12 to 15 foot high garage. We don't even know which variances he wants, except for the 12 foot from the center of the alley setback. So I'm assuming he wants to build right up to the edge of the alley. The 1700 row is a distinctly different style of architecture from the 1600 block. 1600 block were built in about 1920 or so. Ours were built in 1942. They're modern, they're Art Deco, flat front brick. There are no garages behind any of the houses, any of the 31 houses in our row. And thus, our alley is very open, has a great environment, very spacious. It encourages neighbors communicating with each other. And putting a structure right there would not only take away our light and our view, but it would obstruct the view of people on the Hobart side of the alley, some of whom are with us tonight. So
I'm going to have to ask you to stop at this point. I indulge you 2 minutes. You actually normally have three. I indulge you the rest of the time because, one, this is your first time coming, and I was quite interested in what you were saying, but I have to be fair to everybody.
Okay.
And since I gave you 5 minutes, I guess if somebody else needs five, they'll have to have five. We are going to move on, but we do have the information, and I'm sure we'll be addressing this on tonight. Jack?
We have not heard directly from the BZA on this. They usually send us a package of materials.
Right.
And the hearing is on October 28th.
Right.
So we'll be meeting again in October before we need to make... So we don't have to deal with this tonight. Now I'd kind of like to wait and see if we get a package from BZA and if we hear from the owner. So there's no need for us to deal with it tonight.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Further comments?
Hello, I'm Faye Armstrong from Historic Mount Pleasant, and I just compliment what Ed said. I should tell you that the owners of 1665 contacted me last week, and they were trying to get a hold of you, Stormy, but had not been able to. And they promised me, or he promised me, a copy of the package and the drawings in email form, which I have not received. And that was maybe, I spoke with him last Wednesday. So we're trying to get the information, and I'm in touch with both sides at this point. And Historic Mount Pleasant is also very interested in this situation. They're looking for lot coverage variance. The regular lot coverage is 60%. Wouldn't help them very much in this situation. So I think you have a lot occupancy issue, and then the issue of going closer to the center of the alley, which we've already seen violated on those garages that everyone likes down on 19th Street. I think we have a precedent here where the neighborhood needs to look seriously at the question of whether to allow any variance from close to the center of this alley. And if you start to build there, this alley would be very crowded. So just FYI, we're interested and we're trying to get on top of the situation too.
Received an email before I went on vacation, but it had an attachment that wouldn't pull down no matter how I tried, so I'm assuming that they attempted, but that was the only attempt I had of contact. But we will address it again in October. Hey, Jane. Anyone else?
Thank you.
no more public discussion. If we're not going to do it tonight, you can make it brief, please.
First of all, I'd like to observe that sometimes these discussions take a great deal of the ANC time, especially when there's conflicts. We're not a court to adjudicate them, but we have a resolution asking that all the materials that will be discussed be distributed to the ANC at least 2 weeks before the meeting. The second observation, and electronically, the second observation is that since I could not see any policy framework for us dealing with this, and I don't think we should deal with these things on just whoever shows up and screams the loudest. Yeah, I did go to there is a set of laws about this, assuring that the burden of proof is on anyone that's going to restrict anybody else's line of sight, and a number of other issues that have been raised. So those are already part of the policy framework that the ANC and the BZA should use. The next observation is that because I wanted to see how others are doing it, I asked around, and ANC 1B has a design committee and a process for dealing with this, and I have included as one of the resolutions tonight a request of our staff and executive director to find best practices, and so that we can start to better regularize this, and everybody that's protesting or proposing knows what the rules, what the policy framework is, and what kind of documentation this ANC will likely need ahead of time. And I hope that we'll pass that resolution tonight so that we can have that available to everyone so that the submissions 2 weeks before our October meeting will be in full order. Thank you.
Okay. So we still have nothing further in the public comments. So we... Okay.
We record everything, you see.
My name's Kendall Dorman. I live on Harvard Street. But you know, I go to a few of these ANC meetings because of architectural practices and going through BZA things and historic things and everything like that. Isn't there a procedural thing with the BZA that the BZA is actually supposed to contact the ANC? So my question is, until they contact you, I don't even understand why anything's even on the board. So maybe you can address that, because, I mean, it's a procedural thing, and it certainly makes my life a lot easier when you have to do this kind of thing, not to know, and I think you addressed it a little bit about setting up these procedures and making sure that there's something in place rather than, you know, when you go to one ANC, it's treated differently than another ANC. When it's treated differently than another ANC, and so until it's given by protocol, I don't understand really why we might even be talking about it when nobody even knows what it looks like.
Well, I don't know about any of the other commissioners, but I was talking about it because when the constituents had a concern, and our first obligation commitment is to the constituents. And not BZA, but of course we have protocol that we have to follow. But that's my opinion on that. Dave?
Yes, a little. This was community comment time where residents can come in and introduce and talk about anything they are concerned with.
Jack?
I mean, the idea is that people can come in and raise their issues, and we can choose whether or not to deal with them. If this comes up, and it will, then we can deal with it in more detail during a regular session. As far as notification is concerned, we have been notified. We have been notified by the BZA.
Not with the plans,
however. No. There is no legal requirement for them to supply us with drawings. But we have been notified, so... we are under an obligation to provide some kind of response.
Anything further? Great.
I attended a training session put on by the BZA for ANCs a number of months ago. And each ANC is free to set up its own procedures of what it needs There are some explicit ones that are listed, and there's quite a long checklist of things that everybody is supposed to do. Apparently, large numbers of people don't do those things, but then they're not as successful as those that come in with a slick package. What I hope we'll do is to try to resolve as much as we can outside of time-consuming ANC meetings, get everybody to have an approach. And I would also ask that when we're setting up, when the staff makes recommendations to us, which I hope that they will, on what are best practices, that we can get architects and builders and residents that have been through this process or are thinking about it to advise us on how we can set it up that fits the needs of everybody. So I hope the answer to your question will be soon forthcoming and to everybody's satisfaction.
Thank you. We're going to move on now into our Treasury and Secretary's report. Jack.
Okay, first of all, on the Secretary's report, I've distributed draft minutes for the July 23rd and August 12th meetings. Are there any corrections to be offered to either? Seeing none, can I deem them accepted? Then to proceed to the Treasurer's report, I've got these bills, which I intend to pay tonight. $50 to Tony Grillo for posters. Scratch the $50 to Albert because he didn't show. We have two billings from Neil Richardson, one for $2,025, of which $25 is a reimbursement, and a second for $1,675, and perhaps Neil can speak to those. Then I want also to write another check to Tony Grillo for $100 because there's a check written to him last March, which I gave to his mother, and it has disappeared. So I think we can trust him. We can write another replacement check, and if a regional shows up, we can work it out. Now, Greg provided a summary of some small web expenses, and am I right, Greg? This is the backup host. This is INI. Okay, so it's not the actual host for our website. It's the backup host for our website. Just clarification. And $5 a month is like nothing.
That's in accordance with our resolution.
Yes, we did approve this. And I have that authorization written. Well, let's see, I have an authorization for up to $405 to pay for renewals of domain name and website hosting. That is, I'm working very hard at making sure that every expenditure is associated with an explicit authorization, and that's the authorization which we'll support. Reimbursing you to the amount of $179.64 tonight.
Small notice that our domain name leases are coming up, and plus a number of other major expenses. I'm hoping to very soon turn my attention and get everything back to order after the crash, not only of my computer, but the backup. And it requires a lot of phoning and so on, but the prospect of giving them money for renewals, they seem to be more alert and returning my calls. So I have every hope to get everything going, but there will be a price.
Yeah, we've talked a long time about actually quite substantial expenditures for website support, and we've never done it because somehow hiring people has never worked out. Right now I'm just doing the routine housekeeping on these things. This is a summary of our expenditures and revenue from the city for the fiscal year. Basically, we spent $5,861 for services from various people. We spent $1,667 for miscellaneous stuff like our mailbox and the Casa rent, bank fees. And then there was the matter of Franco's musical performance, which added a couple hundred dollars. And our total expenditures for the fiscal year, that is from last October 1st through the end of August, $7,747.50. Our allotments received during the same period, $13,000, so we're quite ahead of the game. And our bank balance is up from $51,000 to almost $57,000. And all the numbers do add up.
Any questions? Seeing no questions, I guess we're accepting the Treasury report as presented.
Thank you.
And we're moving on to the subjects of the evening. Do we have anything that's going to be quick decision that we can go to do first before we jump into a couple of these big ones that's going to take a minute?
Let me just go down the list. I did not make a list this time, but we've got Greg's resolution concerning independent contractors, Greg's resolution concerning public libraries, Greg's resolution concerning DDOT, Greg's request for clarification on the delegation of authority, which is, that one should be straightforward. And then this most recent one on establishing the grants program, which just came this evening. And then we finally, and perhaps most contentiously, my resolution concerning the single sales bill currently in district council. That's the list of resolutions that I have at this point.
Jane?
I think two quick ones would be the reinstatement of the grants program and the contractors. So we could just put those off the top. They'll just be over like that.
Is that acceptable? Start with the contractors?
I'm fine with that.
I also have two that you don't have there on it's almost old business because Jane brought it up a year ago, the funding of the education committees and one on priorities for NC staff. That's on the my clip there.
Okay, can I get agreement with the first one here? Can we all agree that that can be a pretty quick one? So we can go through all of those named by both Jack and Greg? Okay. Want to read it?
ANC1D resolves to authorize the engagement as independent contractor serving at will. Abe and Letitia. They will work on ANC projects with as organized and overseen by the ANC1D Executive Director, the ED, or the ED's designated successor. The work includes roles as grant manager, bookkeeper, legal aid, staff assistant, and other duties as suggested by the ED and accepted by the contractor. Payments are authorized to be made for their invoice services rendered according to work organized by the ED, which includes roles at rates between $15 and $25 an hour. The work of all ANC staff and contractors, unless otherwise resolved, serve as organized and overseen by the ED.
Question?
Yes,
comment? Oh, I'm sorry. Can I get a second? No, I got to get a second first. Okay, questions. Oliver?
Yeah, I have a question. How long are we going to engage with the other two contractors?
Frankly, as I hope they will be long-term with us. I understand that they each say that they can work with us at least 6 months, but they're right here, and you can, because there's going to be a lot of startup investment in getting these programs going.
Jack?
Am I right in assuming that these two young folks right here are the persons in question?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Just a clarification.
Okay. Any more questions or comments? Are we ready for the vote?
I wonder if we could hear just quickly from these folks.
Let's vote first and then let's get this over.
Well, you think if I hear from them, I'll change my vote?
Jack, you're a wily guy. Huh?
Well, I was going to ask after the vote, but we can do it prior to. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
Either way, we're not going to let them get out the door.
There are a lot of uncertainties here. For example, the maximum for any month and who is... Basically, they are answering to Neil and only to Neil. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, yeah, of course, but this means that I can't go to them and ask them to do anything. It's got to go through Neil. Is that correct?
Well, except that Neil may set up a work plan where they work with advisement with you. I think that's what's I discussed this with Neil, and that will probably be the way it works. So you, if there's something that's set up, and Neil serving the will of all commissioners will then authorize that.
Speaking as a one-time private sector manager, I think it's very clear to have lines of authority explicit. And you cannot have people answering to multiple supervisors. You know, some people think matrix management is wonderful stuff, but in practice it turns out to be nightmarish because you may get conflicting instructions, you may get told to do more than you were willing to do or had time to do. It really should be one person who is the stucky for the job, and that should be Neil. Okay, as long as we are understanding that you folks take your instructions from this fella here, ignore us. And we will speak to Neil, but he's the only one who can really give you direction. Is that acceptable, everybody?
Fine.
Then I'm cool with it. Do we have any notion of what the maximum will be per month?
We'll work that out.
I think for the grants implementation, there will be a lot in the front the first 2 or 3 months, and then it'll taper off. But in terms of how much time, I guess it depends on how guided we give our protocol and how efficient Tishy is. But I have a feeling she's fairly efficient from the interview.
Greg?
My view is how to run nonprofits and boards is that you'll hire the best executive director you can and you trust them. And if you can't, well then things are seriously wrong. I think we've been working this out on an informal basis for quite a few months, and I hope we'll continue and not start to pre-manage things. So I would like to call for a vote.
I have one more question,
Jack,
about this. What is meant by at rates between $15 and $25 an hour? How much are we, in fact, paying these young folks?
Yeah, we probably need to narrow that down.
I thought there was some sort of contract that was already drafted up for the individual positions, which I think Neil might have sent out. I don't know.
Well, the grant manager position is $25 an hour, and the research assistant staff position is $15 an hour. We wrote it up this way for between 15 and 25 an hour in case Leticia wanted to also do research if there was too much work for Ida to do. So we wanted to create some flexibility.
Excuse me. Can I have the vote now? Do we need to do roll call? Okay. We'll start on that end with you, Jack.
Why don't we just do a show of hands?
Oh, okay, fine. All those in favor? It's unanimous. All six commissioners vote yes. Now, do you guys want to have a brief moment to say hello? You may. Ladies first.
Well, thank you, first and foremost. My name is Leticia Jefferson. I've been in the district almost 4 years now. I am by day an employee of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and happy to be a consultant with you by night. I have worked in the grants arena for many, many, many years on both sides of the fence. I've worked on grants for the Department of Justice, even with the district government. I've worked on grants through HUD. I've also volunteered for the Dallas Women's Foundation and made grants that way. So I've done a lot of grant making, a lot of grant managing, and I look forward to what it is that the ANC wants to do with our money. And that's about it.
Hello, good evening. My name is Ade B, called Ade for short. And I'll be doing some of the research work through Neil, covering a number of different areas. Lived in D.C. on and off for a few years, but I recently returned after a stint overseas. So I've moved back to D.C. and getting myself settled here again. hopefully starting a new job and dealing with that area. But in the evenings, I'll be doing the research that is required, especially with regards to researching resolutions, getting them ready for the possible. We'll also coordinating the different parties. So it's going to be pretty much ad hoc, but I'm looking forward to doing a lot of this work. That's all.
We thank you, and we welcome you both with smiles on our face.
Can I pose one question to these folks?
Sure, Jack.
Where do you live? Okay.
If I can add, just for the record, particularly for the grants manager position, we thought it was important to look for someone who didn't live in the neighborhood, so that there could be some objectivity, so that there couldn't be anyone saying, well, they're friends with so-and-so and they're too invested in things. And so we purposely gave extreme bias to folks that lived outside of Mount Pleasant.
Well, I think that was real good. Whatever brain came up with that one got an A+. Okay, so we're going to move right along. What was the other subject that then everybody agrees that would take only a moment to decide? Did we find another one, or?
Jane suggested the grants program, which seems appropriate considering we just hired a grants manager. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
Okay. It's fine. Okay, that's real little. Who's doing the reading?
Doing okay. C1D authorizes up to, it's hard to read. Up to $8,000 for a grants program to implement 1D bylaws, Article 16 grants policy. Up to $5,000 authorized for the actual grants, with the rest to support the establishment of the program for the longer term benefit of Mount Pleasant. Wait, that, I don't know if that's a sentence. Up to $5,000 with the rest to support the establishment of the program that something for the long-term benefit of Mount Pleasant we need to work on that sentence, to develop its effectiveness and outreach. The program is under the oversight of the 1D executive director or designees or successor. The proposals will be two pages, one for narrative and the second for entity data of the kind required by the joint form of most DC area foundations. We'll make it a very simple. Unless specifically argued otherwise, one goal for all grants is to complete that joint form. No funds will be dispersed except upon approval of a final report, and only for receipts, invoices, right, or receipts in accordance with DC law, specifically those that can be approved by the DC auditor. 1D intends for this program to be announced with all due expedition, preferably before the end of September. The organizations making proposals need not be incorporated, but should demonstrate some minimum establishment order or articulate purpose. Priority for engaging potential grantees will be outreach to groups in underserved populations or not usually active participants in local civil affairs. The grants will be reviewed by disinterested panel, perhaps with reasonable but modest honoraria, but certainly not including 1D commissioners or the officers or board members of any group making a proposal. The final slate of recommended grants with reviews and rationale will be submitted for approval to 1D.
Can I get a second? Question? Comment? No questions or comments? So, Jack.
I just want to point out that there is a considerable amount of the DC code covering grants, and we should be familiar with those. Make sure there are no conflicts here between what's in the code and what's in our resolution here.
Greg?
That's one of the reasons that I think we need to spend a certain amount of money to codify that, to make it available, to because it's all over the place, also including in the what we now call the AG letters. They can really get people into a lot of trouble, and many people don't know and can't spend the time to go and to research all those. So we need to put together, I think, a manual of what the rules are, because hardly anybody really knows, and yet the auditor will come down on us at the end. So a good deal of money is needed to set up a respectable an effective grants program.
Jack.
Yeah, let me point out that in when this ANC was audited several years ago, 88% of the grants were disallowed for lack of suitable paperwork. 88%. It was humiliating. And it wasn't just, well, that's one reason why we abandoned the grants program, because we just weren't doing it right. The big hang-up, note that it mentions receipts. Any grantee must provide receipts for expenditures. They can't just provide a report. They just can't tell you the wonderful things they did. They got to give you the receipts. And our previous grants manager didn't do that. The grants manager of the previous ANC before I was in the ANC didn't do that. So we had lots of nice fine reports without receipts, and the auditors blew them all away. So we've got to do this right.
I'd like to also add that those receipts need to be the originals.
Is that correct, sir? I hadn't heard that.
Well, I just said that because the last thing that we had to present, that my counsel had to present, they would not accept copies. They told me they wanted the originals.
Is that right?
But that could have been just for that incident, and it could also have been because prior they had some falsified receipts, so that could have just been a single thing. Original receipts is right? Oh, wow, okay.
Those are the kinds of things that we'll find out.
Excuse me, Greg. Can I get permission from the commissioners? There is a hand in the audience. Would we like to hear from the audience member?
Was that Phil? Hi.
Yes.
It's okay with me.
Any objections? Okay.
Considering that he's running for ANC, he's going to be joining us
all right
in January.
Okay.
Does that final sentence mean that the grants are only approved in omnibus, or does the commission allow to review each grant?
Greg?
Since I drafted the thing as a result of discussion, the commission can accept or reject anyone. So it's not like base closures.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Can we vote?
So can we vote in a yes? Okay, all those in favor, show of hands. It's unanimous, all six commissioners voting yes. Okay, our next one. Greg, which one would you like to address next? Because all the rest of them are going to take a minute, aren't they?
There's one that we discussed, and I thought that we had general agreement on before, which is the establishment of a education committee. We promised Jane that we would get to that about a year ago, and I think it's time for us to fulfill our promises. So that's on the stick.
Let me protest again against resolutions being provided to me only minutes before a meeting.
I'm sure Commissioner Edwards apologizes.
Actually, I called Commissioner McKay and profusely apologized to him over the phone.
That he did. I just want to put it on the record. I am tired of having resolutions show up the last second. And that's not just me, the commission. Everyone here should be given an indication of what's coming.
We agree.
I won't bother everybody with my excuses and rationales.
No, you've apologized. That's enough. We're okay.
Actually, I think every one of these resolutions are ones that we've discussed before. So it's just trying to clean up some loose ends.
Okay, it's there.
Okay, who's reading?
Education Committee, let's see. INC Wendy resolves to appoint James Arras chair. I've already been appointed, Greg. I am the chair. And Greg Edwards as member of its Education Committee. It's open to anyone who wants to join, right? And to authorize $1,000 specifically for the INC Wendy ED to provide support for the activities of this committee. Some of the immediate goals include survey of educational and adult learning learning programs and activities of all kinds that occur in or affect Mount Pleasant. This includes public and charter schools, programs of DCPL and Department of Health, Environment, and Parks and Rec. The possibilities of small grants to Mount Pleasant groups to seek further funding that could enhance and enlarge their leverage. Wait, I don't know what that means.
That should be a semicolon.
Okay, guys, you need to just go ahead and read it and come back and do that.
Okay, the possibility of small grants. This is from.
No, this is additional.
The possibility of small grants to Mount Pleasant groups to seek further funding that could enhance and enlarge their leveraging of these programs. I don't get it. Possibilities of synergizing, collaborating among providers and users for more efficient and effective delivery of educational services.
Can I get a second? Questions and discussion. Dave?
These committees are open to anyone living in Mount Pleasant to join, right? Good.
Any further questions? Discussion? I'm sorry, Jack.
Yeah, in fact, according to DC code, the chair of the committee is supposed to be open to the public. I suppose not to be limited to commissioners. And the function of committees is to provide a vehicle for people, for the public, to interact more with ANCs outside the environment of these rather thoroughly structured meetings. So it's really an outreach thing. This seems to go way beyond outreach to the community and seems to be designing a committee that is supposed to be some kind of a task force rather than a committee. I wonder if that's really appropriate.
Greg?
I hope it's not an outrage, but an outreach. And part of the issue is to find the groups in the Mount Pleasant that are working very often innocent of the beneficence and luminescence of this commission, and to find out who they are, what they're doing, and so that we can bring them and their participants into a discussion. This is staff work before we start a larger process and of invitation. We should find out who they are, and I think ahead of time, and it will also feed into a number of other programs.
Oliver?
How many persons would be on this committee?
Now there's two, and I don't know what the limit would be. I mean, I guess as is practicable.
So you're going to advertise publicly so the community knows that they're welcome to come, and you're going to have a round table meeting or something?
The way that I find that you have to work is that advertising in Mount Pleasant gets the same old, same old. Unless you go out and talk to people or contact them individually, they're not likely to come. Our bylaws specify rules of order, and the appointments to the committee are ordinarily done by the chair.
Okay, ordinary done by what chair? Because I didn't do that. Oh, I don't remember doing that either, just for the record. Jane?
I mean, like, one idea that we can have to start getting the ball rolling is we did have a round table about, well, it wound up being a lot about bed bugs, but remember when we were all here and we did that about low-cost housing? And people really had an interest in learning the substance of the rent control laws. So maybe one thing we could offer is sort of like a little teach-in, educate ourselves, have a study group about the rent control laws, because people, I don't have a handle on them. I think it would be good for everyone, for people that are leaders, because there were a number of people self-identified as leaders in the community. I don't know if they were from always Mount Pleasant, but there were about between 8 and 15 people that seemed to have interest in leadership in the community. Maybe we can enhance the literacy of these laws as the first thing to roll out. The education committee exists, and this is what it does. It's just an idea.
Dave, then Greg.
Do you mean to have a roundtable on education for the education committee?
No, it would be the education committee could start publicizing its existence with such an event, which could either be from a study group or from some body of knowledge. I guess TENAC has a handle on the tenants' rights laws, but to just sort of...
Why would the education have something on tenants' rights laws rather than on education?
Well, the education group is to provide a vehicle for literacy about various issues, legal or community issues. The education group isn't just about education and charter schools versus public schools or the budget. It's about what needs there are in the community and interests there are about educating ourselves about issues that are pertinent. A perfect example was about the bed bugs and how the Department of Health came and there's no guidelines yet and there's no real formal help and Fenty has to vet this, but he's not doing it yet. And it's of epidemic proportions in some parts of the city. So something like that as a vehicle for education, not about education.
Okay, I'm sorry, because Greg, you're supposed to be next. Go ahead.
Jean asked a question about the people that came to that meeting. As I recall, there were 23, 24. Jack and my list differed. There were, besides the officials that were invited, including ANC commissioners, there were two people that had not been contacted. All the rest were specifically called from who were officers or board members of the various building associations in Mount Pleasant, and they had been specifically called. My experience is that if you're going to get something besides the usual activist, that you've got to form a list. You've got to go out and make personal contact with them and let them know that they're going to be listened to, and then you have to make sure that you design the program so that they can actually have substantial engagement beyond just a quick postcard statement. So,
okay. Okay, I'm going to get to you.
Ready to
I
vote.
Have a problem. I think we've strayed away from what I'm thinking the education committee was going to be about, because we went into other areas that are covered at other times and under other things. If we're reading this, this is not where you guys just stretched it to. Jane?
In one example of, I mean, the education committee sort of formally formed after the the first forum that we had, and that was an educational event that was an open invitation to panelists to educate, for us to educate ourselves about historic preservation, what are the pros and the cons, what are the problems and the concerns. So that was sort of an example of an event that an education committee could put on, although less formal. Greg has a problem with the whole top-down thing. So.
Usually, Jane does too have a problem with top-down. Your point of view depends upon where your viewpoints. I want to mention that I have been in correspondence with Dr. Peggy O'Brien, the communications director for the school system, and she said that I've communicated to her in ways that seem to have gotten her attention, that there are a number of folks in Mount Pleasant that are somewhat unhappy with the way things are working there. And she has offered to meet with us, and I thought that the Education Committee would be a good vehicle for that. But before we do that, we need to see who are the stakeholders, who are the participants in it, and make sure that we don't leave anyone out simply because they're not the usual cast of suspects. So there's an example of something that could start up pretty quick And I think it's something that you would, you've communicated that you would really be interested in seeing follow.
Okay, this is just my opinion, but in listening to what you guys have said and reading what that resolution says, it seems like y'all went into another avenue. But that's just me. Are we ready for the vote? Oh, Jack?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, too, that we're not clear on what the committee is supposed to be doing. Because the end product of the committee is it is recommendation to the ANC for action. That's what the committees do. They come to the ANC with recommendations for ANC action. So anything it does in terms of community outreach has to be within that framework of what do the educational institutions in Mount Pleasant want the ANC to do that would help them do their jobs. That's when I was running an education committee early on, I got every educational institution in Mount Pleasant to participate. But I recall also at least one participated on the grounds that he did not have to participate in any meetings. So it's the notion of simply having meetings. I agree with Greg that you can't just call meetings and have people show up because you get the same World Neighborhood Activist. It really got to be an outreach to people in the neighborhood who have roles in this. And you have to reach out to them because they may, well, not show up on their own. You don't really have to have meetings. You can really just use your committee as an informal forum for our educational community, as it were, to come up with ideas for how the ANC could be helpful to them. That's where, and in terms of membership, I really don't think it matters what the membership is. Anyone who wants to participate can participate, and if they don't want to participate, they can go away. So I really believe in a very informal kind of a structure. The crucial element there is active outreach to all of the educational institutions in Mount Pleasant.
Jane?
I don't understand, Jack. I mean, did you envision the historic Mount Pleasant thing as a product of such a committee? Like organizing that event as an educational event? I'm not sure we agree. I think your definition of education in terms of educational committee, like Dave's, is a little narrower than what I envision. I mean, if it's enhancing literacy about laws that affect us, like the tenants' rights laws, I consider that a function of the educational committee to sort of identify that as a need and identify and pinpoint information and resources that we can bring to the neighborhood if they want that, something like that.
Okay, I'm going to give this 2 more minutes, Greg.
First, let me note that I put together a list of 60 educational programs that where there are residents of Mount Pleasant that are participating in right now. I think there are probably more. I put a lot of work into it, but it was not really careful, and I think we're probably about 100 of those programs that, and I'd like to see the educational committee not only work with the educational programs, the providers, but also with the users, because it's the users that actually should be the final judge of whether things are going well. That's in accordance with the ANC legal role of evaluating the services of current services and proposing changes to those, as well as reacting. So I'd like to, I would be willing to put in a friendly amendment where the initial activities of this would be focused on the educational function in Mount Pleasant. Because we have a huge need. There are a lot of controversies about it, and I think there is an unmet growing fervor that we address that. Could we just agree informally, or if necessary, that we that be the initial focus?
Jack?
If I could respond to what Jane had to say. What I see here is a confusion over that this committee is going to go out and actively do something in the community, or the committee is going to sort of get input from the community and then come back to the ANC with recommendations. That's the traditional role of the committee, and I put up our bylaws here concerning committees, and that highlights that role of committees. Committees are supposed to do outreach to the neighborhood and then come back to the ANC with recommendations for ANC action. That's their job. Not to, they don't have any authority of the ANC. They're not branches of the ANC. They really can't do anything themselves. Their job is to come back to the ANC and then have the ANC do something.
Jack, you know, I agree with you. And the initial staff support that we needed was to be able to facilitate that. It doesn't have in it any statements that we will then, the education committee would do anything more than that. It's just that I know to do these things right, you need to get a list, find out who's out there, and contact them.
Yes, the time has gone by to address this. Dave is the last one I'm calling on, and then we're going to move on.
Well, I would think the details of how the committee works is up to the committee.
Okay. Is everyone ready to vote on this as it stands? All those in favor? We have five commissioners, Tunda, Bosserman, Edwards, Czar, and Scott voting yes. All those opposed? And one abstention, Jack?
Jack abstains.
Okay. Okay, we're moving on from here.
In terms of the things that are pretty hot now, I think it may be there's a resolution for DCPL because we've all gotten a response, and I think we should prepare ourselves for how to respond to that. So there is resolution that DCPL should engage in serious discourse with MT with Mount Pleasant. May I read that?
Just a moment. Davis.
Okay, everybody in agreement? You want to do that one next?
David, did you have some help? Okay. May I read that then?
I was hoping that Dave Bach would be here for our discussion.
He's not leaving. He's coming back.
I should give him some for me, too. ANC 1D resolves to advise the D.C. Public Libraries, DCPL, to engage, and the DCPL. Jack, would you help me answer the word board after the second one?
Okay, I'm going to make the suggestion. Maybe nobody heard me the first time. Please read the resolution through, then we can go back and do the corrections.
But I'm sorry, Stormy. I'm kind of a hang up here because I haven't found it. I thought I had this beforehand.
You'll find it in my draft at the.
Oh, here it is. Your title. Is this it?
Yes.
Okay. The title doesn't mention DCPL. Oh, yes, it does. I'm sorry.
It's the first word.
Yes.
To engage with Mount Pleasant, including its established civic associations, and especially ANC1D, the democratically elected branch of the D.C. government by D.C. Charter and D.C. law, authorized to represent Mount Pleasant. The responses so far from DCPL do not demonstrate the legally required accordance of great weight. For example, providing detailed evidence and arguments for each particular of ANC1D's resolutions, often included in the resolutions, in the part of the resolutions denoted by why. As the appeals court ruled in Comp versus DCABC board, an agency need not only show it paid attention to ANC resolutions, but must, in each specific, articulate why or why not the particular ANC itself, given its vantage point, does or does not offer persuasive advice under the circumstances. Please note that DCPL's vantage point is not the test, nor stating it does not in itself constitute any kind of admissible answer.
Okay, you want to make corrections somewhere?
First, do we have a second?
Oh, sorry. You have a second?
Thank you, Oliver. After the second DCPL, the DCPL board.
should read. It is not the test.
Okay, but I wanted to say that DCPL's point vantage does not in itself, stating DCPL's vantage point is not in itself, does not in itself constitute any kind of admissible answer. And if people notice that when we are occasionally under great stress getting answers from the agencies, what they tend to do is just to restate, yeah, we saw your resolution, and we reiterate what we said before because this is our opinion. So acknowledgement is not. Stating their opinion is by the appeals court resolution not sufficient. They have to take our point of view because we are the point of view at which the services are being delivered. Well, I wanted to parallel the court ruling so that DCPL's vantage point is not the test. And stating it... I think it could be corrected just if that word nor were changed to and.
But what you're saying, it stating it is acknowledging the existence of our resolution?
It's stating and DCPL stating its vantage point does not constitute an answer.
Just took nor out and added and.
Yeah. Can we have a little more formal discussion here, please?
Okay. Reading it again. Is it reading now as you guys wish for it to?
I would like to offer a change.
Jack?
I think the resolution is weakened by the reference to civic organizations. The issue here is great weight, and only ANC's kept great weight. So this resolution should refer only to ANCs and the requirement that ANC needs to be given great weight.
You know, I'm easy, Jack. I accept all reasonable, friendly amendments.
Okay, Jack, can you revise that so it reads the way it should? Jane, could you do me a favor and use the microphone if you have comments?
All right.
Guys need to know when y'all mumble and have your private conversation, it's going into the recording. So you might as well use the microphone.
I've changed that to read, see if this is okay, Greg. ANC1D resolves to advise the DC Public Library and the DC Public Library Board to correctly engage ANC1D, the democratically elected branch of the DC government, by DC charter and law authorized to represent Mount Pleasant. The responses so far from DCPL do not demonstrate the legally required accordance of great weight. For example, providing detailed evidence and arguments to each particular of ANC's resolutions.
Just great weight, period, and then we could start a new sentence. For example, it does not provide...
I would even eliminate, for example, because that's the key argument, that they don't provide replies to our arguments.
Well, they also don't state that they have given, assure us that they have given great weight, and one of the reasons for it is that I would think that in a court case we could accuse them of mere formality and of not operating in good faith, because it's pretty clear that they don't operate in good faith. They hate the law and wish to evade it.
Okay, so
for example is coming out?
Yeah, they fail to provide.
No, I mean arguing that, for example, should be there because there's a long list of failures.
DCPL fails to provide. Yeah, and then that would be fine. Okay, for the last phrase of the last sentence of the last paragraph, if you could replace it with...
Use a pointer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that would probably be better. Reciting. It. Stating its vantage point instead of it. Instead of it.
Excuse me. Nobody is stating their vantage point. They're stating their opinion from their vantage point.
So... And stating their opinion from... Oh. From...
Yeah, and then restating it is fine.
All this technology. I fought for it for 17 months. DCPL's opinion from its vantage point. Oh, that's editorialism. Maybe semicolon there. Restating their opinion does
its
not.
Opinion.
Okay.
Its.
Well, let's. Simple is perhaps argumentative. Okay, yes.
Replace there with it.
It's fine. I like the. I'm glad to see Jack is picking up on my activism and fervor.
Can you please just replace there with it, just to be consistent with
agency? Use the pointer.
Sorry.
Are we clear now? Do we need another reading of it? Oh, bless God. Can we take a vote on it now? All those in favor? All six commissioners voting yes.
There's a parallel one because I think we're going to run across this in any time we have an issue with an agency because they're so used to just saying, yeah, we read your stuff and we don't agree. That is the next one, which is on... D dot. I actually did a little editing after the one I sent you, Jack, but it's okay. We'll work it out. Okay. ANC1D resolves to advise the D.C. Department of Transportation, DDOT, to provide great weight to its resolutions on the Mount Pleasant traffic study. The responses so far from DDOT do not demonstrate the legally required accordance of great weight. And I think we can copy the evidence, the language from the... But I'll continue reading. Providing detailed evidence and arguments to resolutions... included in the part of the resolutions denoted by why. Why? As a proposal that will have substantial impact on Mount Pleasant, the method of formulation of the recommendations itself will have substantial impact on Mount Pleasant, and this formulation should therefore be reviewed by ANC1D, and ANC1D should be accorded great weight. In particular, the method of formulation should adequately support an informed public and should include a balance of perspectives both from experts on potential impacts and from a reasonable consideration of present and potential users of the facilities under consideration.
This commission has heard from both experts and from residents that the current process has not sought such a balance, but instead DDOT has not overseen the handling of the study with full good faith due diligence. It should, of course, be and rather than but. This resolution does not dispute that data were gathered in good faith and perhaps in partial compliance with ordinary practices. However, the larger and longer term recommendations, given their larger and longer term likely impacts in all sectors of Mount Pleasant, should not go beyond their evidence. That evidence from observation of ANC1D has been selectively gathered on the basis of DDOT's convenience and on the propensity to participate in such studies. Of course, without careful statistical treatment, both forecasts of likely impact and samples of opinion of situations by users cannot be ethically derived without further work than that obviously employed by DDOT. We call upon DDOT to apply generally accepted scientific and engineering principles to the formulation of any summaries emerging from this study. As the appeals court ruled in Kauf, there's two F's at the end, versus DC ABC board, an agency need not only show that it paid attention to ANC resolutions, but must, in each specific, articulate why or why not the particular ANC itself, given its vantage point, does or does not offer persuasive evidence under the circumstances. Please note that DDOT's vantage point is not the test. And here I'd like to substitute our improved language for the final part. I think it's fixed now.
Can I get a second? Questions, discussion? No questions or discussions. Everybody ready to vote? All those in favor? Commission, can I get a question from the floor? Yes, ma'am.
Is this letter going in on behalf of the community of Mount Pleasant?
I would think so.
In on behalf of the language of the ANC1D. Well, this kind of pompous letter, if I were a government bureaucrat and I received it, I would once again ignore it. And my sense would be is that the intent of it is commendable, but somehow one gets lost in the point of what is being said. And it just seems to me that on behalf of this resident anyway, I would like a much more pointed and much shorter to the point letter that speaks to the specific issues, and that perhaps this letter should be taken and re-edited to
Can we have an identification? Oh, Dora. I couldn't even see you there. I didn't know who it was. But for the audio record, we need, thank you. Dora Johnson.
Greg?
I'd like to say that since this is going to be the start of a series of such letters, that I think that we can refine them in the future. But I'd like to keep this going and view it as a work in process, and we'll do a much better job next time. So I would like to call for a vote.
Jack?
I think Dora makes a good point that the language here is so dense, so obscure, that it's really going to weaken its effect. And this is an important issue. I mean, I agree with the point here. We want to go to all DC agencies and insist that they live up to the great weight requirement, including DDOT, which has lately becoming more and more negligent in basically ignoring our resolutions. But I'm afraid that this resolution needs serious tightening and would benefit from being held off until October so that we can put some serious time into reworking it.
Make it short, Greg.
The report may be out by October. And if we're going to have any impact, it's got to be now. So I urge that we continue. And I would also like to say that there are many styles in Mount Pleasant, and we know that both Jack and Dora don't like my style, as we've often heard.
That's not necessary, Commissioner Edwards. Just go ahead and make your statement without comments on personals.
There are many different styles in Mount Pleasant, and to work them all out into a style that's acceptable by all would require a great deal of extra work. I suggest that we, since this is needed right away, and that we could lose this in this case, that we consider this to be a work in progress, and we will refine the language for the next one.
Jack?
I don't think our advice at this time is going to warrant the issue here is merely the report of the contractor concerning the traffic study. Turn the mic off. Yeah, turn it off, please. Thank you. Sorry about that. Yeah, we all learned that the hard way. That the traffic study is simply going to provide advice by the contractor to DDOT. It does not itself reflect any proposed action. Our advice will concern any proposed action taken by DDOT. So that's another step. And I know from the history of the Columbia Heights traffic study, they may make all sorts of recommendations, but 90% of them die on the shelf. So I think we have ample opportunity to respond to the recommendations of the traffic committee and then insist that our advice at that time be given great weight.
Okay. I just want it to be shortened. I agree that it's a little too long. Greg?
Actually, this is making another point that I think is different from Jack's. Jack and I had a disagreement on this and the library issue as well, in a way that I think would seriously weaken our process. This is saying that the way that the process is being handled is one, it should be a subject of engagement. So because, and in a further resolution that's proposed, it points out that very often the government will say, well, they've spent all their money, there is no more money left, and so there, you can ask us to go back and reformulate things to do the job right, but until we go through another several year cycle of allocation, and it's unlikely to happen because other groups are at the door waiting to get their study, then it's not likely to happen. Therefore, I see this as being the time, the window, out of if we wait and then put it in, and even if we were successful, it wouldn't happen for another several years. Indeed, these studies are allocated to a neighborhood only once every 10 or 20 years. So I say that this is the point to start to talk about this and to get great weight acknowledgement.
Okay, I'll call for the vote now.
I would like
last
to,
comment, Jack.
I would like to move that this be tabled until the October meeting so that we can take a closer look at it and rewrite it to be more effective.
All those in favor? Now, do I need to get a second to that?
Yes, you need a second.
Can I get a second to
motion to table?
To motion to table. No second, so we're going with the vote. All those in favor? We have Commissioner Tunda, Bosserman, Edwards, and Zara voting yes. All those voting no, McKay and Scott votes no. It carries 4-2.
There's one more in this series that asking that ANC authorize a request for clarification of whether an agency can escape ANC law by delegating. Isn't it short?
I'll proceed to read it. ANC-1D resolves to ask that its officers and executive director request clarification from the D.C. Attorney General and from other counsel to obtain an answer to the ANC-1D resolution advising agencies to not escape the requirements of notice and response on plans by delegating or contracting out the formulation and implementation of these plans. Additionally, ANC-1D advises the D.C. Council and Chairman Gray's committee particularly to assure that this potential loophole is closed.
Well, the word is particular, not potential. Particular loophole.
Fine, I accept that as a friendly amendment.
No, not an amendment. That's your text.
I have in my thing potential, but that's my text.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So there was a mistake, Heather. What?
My mistake.
Can I get a second? Okay, question and discussion. Dave?
It was blessedly short.
Jack?
Yeah, actually, we are told that the D.C. Attorney General has actually formulated an opinion concerning our resolution about the flow down of requirements, ANC requirements to contractors, but DDOT refuses to divulge that to us. So this resolution should be very appropriate right now.
Okay, I think there's no more discussion. All those in favor? Unanimous. Oh, unanimous in passing.
6-0.
I have another one or two, but let me not hog the program because Jack...
Yeah, I would really appreciate doing something else.
Yes,
goodness.
Please note that by my own sense of equity that I turn, I suggest Jack.
Okay, I think we're getting ready to tackle this one here, the single sales.
Yes, this is my resolution. Let me just copy it over. This has to do with a modification of the... We passed... Well, let me read the resolution, excuse me. Resolve that ANC-1D advises the Council of the District to delete the Mount Pleasant elements of Bill B-17-0903, the, quote, Mount Pleasant Targeted Ward 2 and Ward 6 Single Sales Moratorium Temporary Act of 2008. Further, ANC-1D advises the Council of the District to hold hearings concerning single sales bans that are properly publicized and noticed to ANCs and affected communities, in contrast to the secretive hearing held on July 11th, a hearing that was improperly advertised and for which notice was given only to ban advocates.
Second. Okay, discussion question?
Let me leave with just a little bit of background here, namely that we've already passed one resolution concerning the single sales. This refers to a newer bill, which basically incorporates Mount Pleasant to a bill referring to Wards 2 and 6, and also fortifies the arguments in opposition to the single sales ban. In particular, mentioning as before that it merely displaces a problem into other neighborhoods, it does not really solve the problem. Further, that making the ban legally required now eliminates any possibility of running a test. Suspending the ban for a while to see if there are problems that ensue. Third, a statistical analysis of the Ward 4 ban. In a small neighborhood, the obvious dynamics of the single sales ban is simply to shove our population into Columbia Heights. In Ward 4, it's a larger area, and you could argue that there would be less likelihood of displacement. And a statistical analysis of the calls for police service associated with drinking problems showed no change as a consequence of the imposition of the ban in Ward 4. And finally, I point out that because of the popularity of these single sales bans, we're not paying enough attention to serious approaches to the homeless problem. That's our problem. People from the homeless shelters who sit in our parks, on our streets, and drink. What else are they going to do? Our shelters throw them out during the day. There is an effort by Mayor Fenty to provide supportive housing for the homeless so that they would have a place to go to during the day and they wouldn't be polluting our parks. So this is, I think, a much stronger resolution, and the bill will come up Very soon. I expect it to be perhaps on September 16th. So, yes, the council is pushing this through just as quickly as... You know, they've already passed the emergency ban, which extended it for another 90 days. This is a temporary ban, which will extend it for another 270 days. And the council is doing this in a big, big hurry. So we really need to get this in. Thank you.
Jane? Yeah, I just want to make a couple points. One is, well, I want to ask Councilmember Graham what constitutes emergency legislation. I mean, maybe you can address that. It seems that there's a real low bar in terms of what constitutes an emergency and what constitutes I mean, homelessness, bed bugs, poverty, those are big problems. But the single sales ban for emergency legislation, I was a little surprised at that. I don't know, maybe you can share with us what Councilmember Graham's criteria are for what constitutes an emergency. I don't want to put you on the spot. I just want to put that on the record. And then the other thing is, and Jack makes it sort of a more subtle point here, but if you can't buy cheap beer, then what are you going to do if you're broke? You're going to panhandle, and you're going to buy cheap whiskey or cheap vodka. You'll notice that there's an increase in vodka bottles, cheap vodka bottles on the ground, where there is a single sales ban. And it's ridiculous, I mean, in my opinion, that you're just replacing one thing. This leads to faster liver damage in the homeless population or in the indigent population, and it increases panhandling. So it's a really short-sighted for also those reasons that are sort of subtly articulated here. And then I had a third point, but I forget what it is. Anyway, this is great, Jack. It's great.
Anyone else? Okay, are we ready for the vote? All those in favor? Okay. Okay, all those in favor, by a show of hands. Okay, we have Edwards Tunda Bossaman. Oh, excuse me, I'm so used to seeing your name. McKay Tunda Bossaman, Czar, and Scott voting yes. Commissioner Edwards votes no. Oh, you're abstaining. Excuse me. He's abstaining. Okay. But it carries five.
It's abstain.
Did I say a stain? Oh, I know. I got the joke.
Can I ask one question? It's just about the law. I mean,
but we're over it.
I was just wondering if, I'm sitting, if the lack of proper notice, if that, I mean, is that, was that a breaking of the law? Do you think? I mean, is there a specific... I'm not questioning the validity of this because I think proper notice is courtesy. But the fact that they didn't even announce the hearing until the day it happened, I mean, they're by law maybe required. I don't know. That's something I want to find out.
Well, they're arguing that because the bill was introduced in July and then they went on vacation and they're resuming in September, that that's sufficient notice to the ANC. Even though... Now, the only notice we've gotten is the appearance of the text in DC Register. That's it. That's the notice that we got. So let me point out, if I could carry on for just a moment, I refer to the, don't laugh at me, Greg, warranted as it might be. That is the hearings on July 11th. Nobody here knew about those hearings on July 11th. I've checked all of the websites serving the area. There was no notice given of that hearing on July 11th. And it appeared in the DC Register, but it appeared in the DC Register of July 11th, which was put in the mail the same day that the hearing was held. So we certainly got no notice of that hearing, and I am complaining about that here.
Okay. What residents in Mount Pleasant did participate in the hearing, and how did they hear about it?
Larry Collins and Faye Armstrong and Dana Keeney. Those three showed up.
And they're all opposed. They're all in support of the ban.
I'm sure Larry found out about it, and then Larry recruited her network. That's how they were.
How do you know how Larry Collins might have found out about it if it wasn't
know.
In the public?
I do not know.
Hmm.
Like our city used to say, those kind of things make you go, hmm. Okay. Greg?
I offer one last draft resolution. No, I want to move on.
Moving
now, priorities for ANC 1D staff.
This is a resolution to ourselves, right?
Right. Or to the staff. It's at the bottom of page 3. Draft Resolution 6. Let me read it quickly. ANC 1D resolves to advise its executive director that priorities for the near future could well include, notice we're being collegial, the following issues among the those already highlighted by ANC 1D resolutions. All these have already been the subject of ANC resolutions. Establishing and executing a grants program with substantial outreach towards high and long-term impact. Dealing with agency projects with potential long-term impacts on large fractions of ANC residents. This category includes the Mount Pleasant Branch Library, redesign of streetscape and traffic patterns around 1600 block of Park Road, a special planning area to revitalize the commercial corridor in eastern Mount Pleasant while enhancing our economic and economic diversity, streetscape conditions and plans especially for the area around the commercial corridor, jitney and shuttle services, parks, pedestrian transportation linkages with neighboring ANC areas, policing and security. Dealing with issues around the next one is dealing with issues around agency handling of notice, acknowledgement, collegial discourse, and great weight for ANC 1D resolutions. This might include discussions with Chairman Gray's current consideration to rewrite the ANC legislation and a report for all concerned on the current status of ANC 1D resolutions. Neighborhood outreach, website, and other technologies for better communications. Alcohol-related issues, including understanding the legal bases for current contested issues. Pest and trash-related issues, including bed bugs. Formulation of continuing ANC 1D programs and staff support. This might include best practices for handling Zoning Commission, Historical Preservation, and Board of Zoning Appeals, including informational guides for both owners seeking changes and for neighbors wishing consultation. Survey of the situation, demographics, needs, and conditions for current government policies and services that affect Mount Pleasant.
Second. Okay, discussion and question. Okay. You have a question, Jane? Okay. Are there any questions, any discussion? Are we ready for it, Jack?
I'm still trying to digest this.
It was rather extensive.
I'm going to move again that this be postponed, that this be tabled for a month so that we have a little bit of time to think about this.
Okay, can I get a second to table? Oliver seconds to table. All those in favor on tabling? Okay. It gets tabled.
Well, you need.
No, okay. My hand's not up, but I was just getting ready to say I vote with McKay, Tundin, Bosserman to table this.
So there are 4 votes in favor of tabling, is that correct?
Yes.
And 2 opposed?
Yes.
Thank you.
I second. ANC is adjourned. 8:50 p.m.